Well, you know, birthdays are special days. And when you think about it, birthday is the day God brought you into this world. And most of us love birthdays. Sometimes we get bothered when you get older and you start thinking about birthdays. But most of the time, it's a celebration. And what do you get on your birthday? What do? What do they give you? They give presents. They give you gifts. And you say, you know, and what did you do? You did absolutely nothing. Your mother did everything. In fact, she ought to get the presents, right? I mean, because you did nothing and you just come out. And so when you think about a gift, what is a gift? I mean, it's something that is freely given. You can't put any stipulations on it. There are some people, they'll say something, I'd like to give this, but we say, well, no, wait a minute, either give it or don't give it. You can't put the but on there. It's like I would say to you, listen, I will give you $5 if you'll wash my car. I'm not giving you $5. You're earning it. If I said, I'd like to give you $5, that's giving you a gift. But I mean, I've had people say, you know, you can be saved simply by faith, if you walk down an aisle, if you give your life to Jesus, if you repent of your sins, and they add four or five things to it. That's not a gift. And so we're going to talk more about that, but a gift is something freely given. And this morning, we're going to look at gifts that God has given to us. God in his grace has given us so much. I want you to look at James chapter 1, verse 17. Look what it says. It says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. He's basically saying God doesn't change. And when God gives gifts, everything that he gives is a perfect gift. It's from above. It comes down to us. So every good and perfect gift really is from above. It's from God. And so what I thought I would do, just for fun, this is a study I thought about and thought about putting together, but there's so many things we could say that God has given to us, but what we're going to do is just look at several things over these next few weeks, and if we get through, because what we're going to do is we'll do some Christmas messages as well, and it may not realize it, but it's getting close to Christmas. If we don't get through with the study before Christmas, we'll just stop it, do some Christmas things, and then finish this part after Christmas, but we may get through before, and so... Think about this. This morning, we're going to just hit on just a few of them. I mean, there's so many of them. If I started saying, what has God given to us? We could start just listing things. But here's what I've put together, and I want to just show you sort of the little outline of what we're going to look at. First of all, I'm calling it God's gifts, and we're going to look first. God's gift is God's Son. He gave to us Jesus Christ. Then we're also going to see that he's given to us eternal life. The third thing down is we're putting this as a big heading, but he's given us all things necessary for life. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We'll talk more about that in a little bit, but we're going to see that. And then under that, of things like this, he's given us our needs, basically, meet our needs. He's given us the Word of God. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us spiritual gifts. He's given us fellow believers. And then tied in with this, I'll come back and say, he's also given to us peace. And we're going to talk about the different kinds of peace found in the Bible, peace of God and peace with God, and we'll see that. And then last but not least, the blessed hope. And he's given that to us. We're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll see those. So I want you to just think about these as gifts for the next 3, 4, 5 weeks that we'll be looking at these things, because they're incredible. Now, you could spend 5 minutes on each one and be through in 1 week. Or we could spend a little bit more detail. And I thought it might be more fun to get a little bit more detail. So let's look at the very first gift, and that is the gift that God gave us his Son, Jesus Christ. He didn't have to give us his Son. He didn't have to give us anything. We came into this world dead in trespasses and sins, that we're a sinner and we need a Savior. He didn't have to give us anything. He didn't have to give us a Savior. He didn't have to do anything. But God so loved the world. In fact, God gave us his Son, Jesus Christ. This is a gift. Why? It's to be our Savior. Jesus Christ came into the world. All of sin and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But Jesus Christ came to be the Savior. In fact, the Savior of the world. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, it says he's the Savior of all men, especially of believers. And so when you think about Jesus and you think about why did he come, there's all kind of questions. People raise all kind of things. Why did Jesus Christ come and all of this? But he came to be the Savior of the world. He came to save us. And we're going to talk more about that. I love John 3:16. God so loved the world that he did what? That he gave. He gave his Son. That word gave there is a word that has the idea of to give something as a gift. I mean, sometimes you give something, but you give things with strings attached. I'll give you this, but you do this. That's more of a contract. That's not a gift. But when it says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that is a gift. Jesus Christ came. He came to die. He came to rise again to pay for sin. We'll see it this morning in our passage in Matthew for the second time. in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells the guys, his men, he's going to Jerusalem and they will kill him and he will rise again. See, that's the great news. The great news is God so loved the world, he gave his son. His son came to die on the cross to pay for sin. I think about the son. God gave the gift of his son, eternal life through Jesus Christ. But the gift we're thinking about now is the son himself. And I like this because the son came. And look at Ephesians 5. You don't have to look in the Bible. But Ephesians 5, 2, there it is. It says, "And walk." It's supposed to say walk in love, not walk and live. "And walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." The thing I want you to look at is that Christ, Jesus, also loved you. He's talking, and gave himself up for us. So he puts it together that he gave his son. Jesus Christ came to die for us. And he did. He died for us. The son was given for us. When you think about Jesus leaving the glory of heaven, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, and that's really a hard one. We read the Bible all the time, and I don't know if you do this, but we need to really dig scripture, and sometimes we don't, and sometimes we just read passages, and we don't stop to deal with what they really say. But in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 says, "Let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you, as although he thought himself, he was equal with God, he actually left, he gave up living up in eternity with Jesus, with the Father, and left and came to earth." And it says he came to be fashioned like a human being. He came to be a person, and then he humbled himself to be obedient to death, even the death on the cross. Now, this is what's amazing. He did this. Jesus Christ did this on purpose. And, you know, I think about this because when we study, one of the things I try to do, and this helps me when I teach or when I study, is I try to pretend I'm there. So when we see Jesus talking with the guys and he'll say, "Who do they think I am?" My mind says, I'm standing there and Jesus is asking us, who do the people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? We come down off that mountain. Say, I'm pretending I'm up there with Jesus where I see Moses and Elijah and Peter, James, and John. We come down off that mountain and all these people start running to us and saying, "We got this little boy that's controlled by a demon and throws him in the fire and throws him in the water." And I'm sitting there going, I wonder why the other guys didn't do something about this. Because the other nine have been back here. And when Jesus sent us out, we were able to cast out demons. Why couldn't they cast this demon out? That's the question they're going to ask this morning in our passage. And so when you're there, think about this. Why would Jesus Christ leave the glories of heaven to become a person? Because he loved us so much, he's willing to die in our place. And so God gives the Son. And it's all in love, by the way. God gave in his love. And I love this verse. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation. The word propitiation means satisfactory payment. So in this is love, not that we love God, but he loved us. God so loved us that he sent his son, he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to be the satisfactory payment for our sins. When Jesus came and died on the cross and paid for sin, God says, I'm satisfied with that. What is the wages of sin? Who sinned? All of us. So what do we owe God? Death. What did Jesus do? He died to pay the penalty. Let's just pretend that the wages of sin was $1,000 and nobody has any money whatsoever. So what do we owe God? All of us owe God what? $1,000. But none of us have any money. So the wages of sin is $1,000 and we're going to be separated forever. And Jesus comes and says, I'll pay the what? I'll pay the $1,000. I'll pay the penalty. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus Christ came to die in our place. In this is love. Not that we love God. Listen, I have people talk about it all the time, and they'll say, you know, I found God. I said, no, you didn't find God. He found you. You're not looking for him. No, man, we're not looking for God. All we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way, but the Lord laid on him of the iniquity of us all. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one that seeks after God. What God does is send the Holy Spirit into the world to convict the world, every person, of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Holy Spirit is what convicts you that you even begin to think about what to do about God. And then he convicts you of the fact that you've never trusted in Christ. And then you decide whether you're going to believe in him or not. And so it's not that we loved God. He loved us and sent his son to be the satisfactory payment for us. One of my favorite verses is Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. So what I want you to understand, this first gift, This gift is the Son, Jesus Christ, and the gift is a gift of love that God in love gave the Son. And that's what we see. And you see it all throughout the Bible. And so sometimes we don't think about it. Let me just say this. Did we deserve for God to send Jesus? No, we didn't deserve anything, right? We like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one seeking after God. We're our own thing. We're doing our own thing. And God in love says, I have a present for you. What's the present? The Son, Jesus Christ. He would die to pay for sin. So here's a question for us. How do we view the Son of God? Some people think of him as a good man. There are a lot of people out there who do not believe. Let's just face it. There are Christians. When I say Christians, there are denominations that reject the deity of Jesus Christ, or they reject who Jesus really is and what he did, and they'll say Jesus came as a good man, Jesus came as a great example, Jesus came as a great teacher. They don't understand who he is and what he's doing. And what we say is, well, how do we view the Son of God? We view him as the Savior of the world, that he is the God-man. He is the gift given by the Father. The Father so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son. So when we think about the first gift, the gift is the Savior of the world. I love this verse. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Most of you do not realize that Jesus is answering a question there. Jesus said, I'm going and you know the way. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know the way. Where are you going? And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through me. And so the very first gift that I want you to think about is the gift of the Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world. So when you think about, and this is one reason I wanted to do gifts, because at this time of the year, starting Thanksgiving on, and we start thinking about presents and Black Friday and buying everything and Christmas gifts and everything and what's going to be under the tree and all those things. Well, let's think about, first of all, the greatest gift we ever got. The greatest gift that was ever given was the gift of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, given by the Father to save mankind, the Savior of the world. So that's our first gift, okay? That's the first one. Here's the second one. The second one ties into it, the gift of eternal life. And when we say eternal life, I put salvation up there. We know that there are three acts, three salvations, past salvation, present salvation, future salvation. We're talking about justification, talking about eternal life by faith in Jesus Christ. And we're just going to get started on this. I look at the time, and we're going to just get a little bit today and finish this little part out. But God has given to every believer the gift of what? Eternal life. You realize you got a gift. When you believed in Jesus Christ, God said, I got a gift for you. Because the offer of salvation is the offer of receiving the gift of what? Eternal life. That's what it is. Remember, we say it all the time. You put your faith in Jesus Christ and he gives you what? Eternal life. So God gives to every believer eternal life. What does this verse say? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will never perish but get what? They'll have eternal life. You realize that a gift to every one of us is eternal life. Let me show you this one. I love this one. For all the sin come short of the glory of God, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, I give you the gift of eternal life, and it comes through Jesus. That's how you get it. So the gift of eternal life. So we've seen two gifts so far, the gift of the Son and the gift of eternal life. I'm so amazed that when people start talking about salvation, they say things like to have a good life or to make it through this life. I remember a famous evangelist speaking, and he said, Jesus will get you through college. Jesus will get you through your life. Jesus didn't come to get you through college. He's going to get you through college. He came to give you eternal life. He came to save you. He came to die on the cross, to pay for sin, rise again, and give you the gift of eternal life that comes by faith. And most people are so confused, they don't even know what the offer is. You tell people that if you were to die, will you go to heaven? And they say, yeah. And they say, and you say, why? And they name four or five things they hope they've done in order to get something. And they never say they get eternal life. They just say, I get heaven. The truth is this. What do you get? You get eternal life. And you're going to be in heaven a short time. You're going to be on this earth for 1,000 years, and you're going to be on a new heavens and a new earth for all eternity. So actually being in heaven is a short period of time. In fact, if you go back to the Old Testament, Jewish people never said, when I die, I hope I go to heaven. What were they looking for? What was it? The kingdom. That's why Jesus came to offer the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. We're going to be in the kingdom. Is that not right? If you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, one day you will be with him in the kingdom and hopefully rule and reign with him. And so this is the gift is eternal life. So let me give you four questions. We'll answer two of them today, and we'll answer the rest next time. But the four questions are that, what is eternal life? How long? The second one, anybody goes, how stupid a question is this? How long is eternal life? The third one is, how do we get eternal life? And number four, when do we get eternal life? Do you realize that there's a lot of confusion on every one of those? And we look at that and go, some of those are pretty dumb questions. Well, maybe not. Let's look at the first one. What is eternal life? You know what eternal life is? Eternal life is not living forever. Eternal life is an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it is. He is the eternal Son of God. If we want to be with him, we have to have an eternal connection and relationship with him. I want you to understand something. Eternal life is not just existing forever. I've had some people say, well, eternal life is that you go on forever. You exist forever. No, I want to show you something. Unbelievers will exist forever, separated from Jesus Christ, which is called the second death. Believers will exist forever with Jesus Christ, and that's called eternal life. Listen, Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again doing what? What did he do when he rose from the grave? He conquered death. Death's not the end. So all human beings are going to exist forever. And when we just say eternal life, we don't mean just living forever. We mean existing forever with Jesus Christ. That's eternal life. Unbelievers are going to exist forever because Jesus conquered death. And they're going to, we'll put it this way, I don't like to say live forever. They're going to live forever. They're going to exist forever, but they're going to be separated from Jesus Christ. And the Bible calls that the second death. If you really want to say it, you can say eternal life is living forever, an eternal relationship with Christ. And second death is dying forever, separated from Jesus Christ. That's what it really is. So unbelievers will exist forever. They're separated from Christ. Believers will exist forever. They're not separated from Christ. They have eternal life. So isn't that great? So what do you have? You have eternal life, which is an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. Never ends. Here's the second one. How long is eternal life? Okay. Well, I mean, I have people say, well, you can believe in Jesus and have eternal life, and then you can lose it. If you could lose it, you what? There wasn't eternal life. So some people don't understand eternal life. Some people think eternal life is a commodity. Like, okay, I got it, but I could give it back, and then I don't have eternal life. And so the name implies life eternal. Eternal life lasts forever. It's forever. We had a beginning, but we don't have an ending. You know, you did have a beginning. God created you in your mother's womb. People say, well, God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and he doesn't create anymore. He creates every human being. He created every human being in the mother's womb. He creates us all. He never stops creating. And so some people say you can get eternal life and lose it. And let me just tell you, because we're gonna talk about it next week, but there's some people who have this idea that you believe in Jesus Christ, and you so-called get eternal life, but you don't get it till you die. And so you've got this life to really mess up. And so after you believe, if you mess up and you don't get it at the end. And so you never really got it. And some people say, well, you got it, but it just ended. And then you say, well, if it just ended, then if you can lose eternal life, then it wasn't what? It wasn't eternal life. Let's just face it, it wasn't. So either you get eternal life or you don't. And so I love Charles Ryrie. Charles Ryrie was one of my favorite. I think he's the greatest theologian of the 20th century. We're in the 21st century. Ryrie had the Ryrie Study Bible. He was a professor at Dallas Seminary. He taught what they call senior theology, which he brought you into the room, and he just started asking you questions. And you better answer them. I mean, and there were guys in there crying. You know, he's tough. I mean, he just said, what do you mean? You're fixing to graduate and go out and teach people, and you don't understand this truth? Think about it. And I look at all of us and say, look, we're supposed to be sharing and telling people about Christ, and we don't understand the basic foundational truths of the Bible. it amazes me is how few of people understand the basic truths of the Bible. Okay, so Ryrie says, if eternal life is not forever, it has the wrong name. It had to be life what? Life for a while. Temporary life. Which says when you believe in Jesus, you get temporary life. If you hang in there to the end, then you get maybe better life or maybe a longer life or something. No. So let's think about it. God has given many gifts to us. The first gift is the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. The second gift is the gift of eternal life. And we're not through because we still got two more questions on eternal life. But let me give you some applications so we can go to Grow Group and talk about all these different things. But let's praise God for all his amazing gifts. Now, you got the handout, but we got the gift of his son and the gift of eternal life. And then all he meets all our needs, and he's given us the Bible and the Holy Spirit and other believers and spiritual gifts and peace and the blessed, all those things. We could say, Lord, thank you. You have given us so much. Tell me, what would you do if you had to earn eternal life? It's impossible. It is. I mean, even if he said, I want everybody to do 50,000 good works. First of all, you can't keep count of it. And even if you did, you'd say, did I get it? Or was that a good work? Or was I selfish when I did that work? And so maybe it doesn't count. So when you're never going to know. In fact, here's a great truth. If any time you look to your own life and your own works to determine whether you are saved or not, you never know. You can never know. You can never know if you've done good enough. You never know if you're going to keep on believing. You never know all of that stuff. That's why these things he's written to us who believe in the name of the Son of God, that we may what? Know we have eternal life. You can know you have eternal life. So let's praise God for all the gifts. There's some great gifts. Let's understand that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. That's the greatest gift right there. The greatest gift of all time is the Son. God so loved the world, he gave. And this is love, not that we love God, but God loved us and sent his son to be the what? The propitiation. What does that mean? Satisfactory payment of the world. Never take that one for granted. And then here's this one. May we take the gift of eternal life, because that's what we're looking at. And we only answered two questions. And you know, we got two more to go. We're going to talk about is when do you get eternal life? When do you get it? Most of us know the answer, don't we? But you know, there are people out there that don't know, and you're going to be talking to them. And y'all are on two different wavelengths. You don't think it is. You start talking to somebody, and they say, I go to church. They say, oh, I go to church, and I go to this. And you think they believe just like you do. They don't have a clue of what you believe. Most of the time, they don't. Most believers don't have basic truths. I have to tell you that I talked to a guy. And I'm not going to go into any more detail than this, but I talked to a guy in our church who talked to someone who is very involved in another church in town. And so he raised this question because they were kind of going back and forth. And he said, let me ask you a question. How long have you been a Christian? And this person said, 23 years. And he said, is Jesus Christ God? And the person said, I don't know. I've never really thought about that. Okay, what do you think? What if I said to you, is Jesus Christ God? What would you say? You're going to have to think about that? You've been in church 23 years and you're going to have to think about that? So we got some great gifts that God's given us. And you know, the gift of eternal life comes by, how do you get it? Comes by faith.